Today, Torah Majda, Yud Kislev Tovshin Ayin Tes, River Fall Cuts.
I feel like the president is
in the same.
Good morning. There is a mitzvah which we do daily, which I'd like to give a bit of a chizuk on and a bit of an insight into. It's a very special mitzvah. It's one mitzvah which is described as giving a person a chelik to olam haba if they do it even just the once. Tfilin, karkafta doim alach tfilin, it's a very important mitzvah. And this forum described the significance of the mitzvah of tfilin in very, very, very glowing terms. The kedusha of the tfilin and what would the connection to the Rabbeinu Shleilam. I'd like to discuss it in the way Rav Hirsch, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, discusses it, or to say that more accurately in the way Rav Hirsch says it. And there's a lot of very, very beautiful insights, and maybe it'll give us a renewed enthusiasm to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, B'chol Proteh V'dik Dukeho. So let's begin. Let's start with the Parashias, because the Parashias are the Ikka. Okay, the parasha is what it's there for. Okay, so it's like the mezuzah on the door. It's the content of the mezuzah. It's the content of these parashias that we're putting on ourselves. And agav, the big chiddush of tefillin is that we put the name of Hashem on our body. We attach the name of Hashem to our body is in itself an astonishing chiddush. It's almost as if the emphasis is on the kedusha of the body of a person. That it is, and that is the responsibility when you put the name of Hashem on your body to have a machshavas kedoshes, to treat the name of Hashem with respect whilst it's attached to you, but to understand the significance. It's like taking a korban which belongs to the Rebbein Shleim and putting it in your mouth. The significance of this action where we are so kadosh that we can take Hashem's property and devour it and consume it ourselves in our body. And take the name of the Rebbeinu Shleilam and put it in our body is in itself a very big statement. And we must pause for a moment and reflect on the significance of this action where the name of Hashem is attached to our flesh and blood. Let's focus on the parashias. There are four parashias, Shema v'hoyom Shemoya, Kadesh, and v'hoyaki v'yacho. So what's the meaning of these four parashias? Well, Shema is understood, because it tells us about Hashem, tells us who Hashem is, and it dedicates, it's Kabbalas Malchus Shemaim, it dedicates ourselves in general to the Rebbein Shleilam by our personal example, to spreading the word of Hashem, not just to our children, but to everywhere we are his representatives. It's called the parish of Kabbalas Malchus Shemaim. And it stands wherever we go. It stands on our houses because it tells us this is the purpose of every space you have should be dedicated to Malchus Shemayim. That's the significance of Parsha Shema, and I think we've understood that. V'hoyayim Shemayim is also a follow-on because not only are we mekabel Malchus Shemayim in theory, we have an oil mitzvah. We have a practical duty to fulfill a lot of mitzvahs. And that's be'ika what Hashem wants. And there is no lahavdil religion which emphasizes the practical mitzvah doing as the Torah does. It doesn't exist in any other sphere. Do you find an emphasis so much, not just on thoughts, feelings, ideas, emotions, but on practical day-to-day, minute-by-minute doing of things? Oil mitzvahs is equal to oil malchus shemayim. And the parasha of Yom Shemaya further tells us that the basis of our connection to the Rebbeinu Shleilam, of our hatzlacha in anything, should be on the basis of the doing of the mitzvahs. So we understand these two parashas, why they're so significant, why they stand on our doorposts, and why we put them on our bodies. Because we're dedicating the whole of our body and all of our thoughts and emotions and our actions to Hashem, to the Oil Malchus Shemayim, and it's called an oil. It's an oil. Don't underestimate what that means. We are hitched to a very big wagon. And we're pulling it all our lives. There's no moment free from this big oil. And v'chayim shemaya, the oil mitzvahs, the Kabbalah, to do mitzvahs, to further the will of Hashem in the world through these mitzvahs. And as a nation, our hatzlocha, as a nation, is dependent on fulfilling mitzvahs. We understand these two parashas, why we should put them on our bodies. But what's the significance of kadesh and v'ayoki v'yacho? So, yes, I understand. I appreciate that's because tefillin appears in them, but that's the question, Hagufa. Why does tefillin appear in these two parashas? So what do the parashas say? Kadesh li kol b'chor. And then Moshe said, Zochres yom hazeh, it's all about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ki b'chor yizeh, ki odo Yitzias Hashem eschem yizeh. V'hoye ki v'yach Hashem el Eretz HaKanani. When you come and you find this land, you come to this land, then you have to make Pesach, you have to fulfill this Pesach. Shivas yom toyuch ha-matzois, ba'avur zeh os Hashem li, v'hoye lo yisal yotcho, lezor zikorim b'nei necho. What's the meaning of that? Well, Yetzias Mitzrayim is the whole basis of our Shibbut to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the important thing to understand. Yetzias Mitzrayim, the whole of our Shibbut to the Ribbono Shel Olam, is based on this one event. That Hashem took us out from nowhere, from nothing, and brought us for something. We're Meshubbut because of that. So the significance of Pesach as an event in the life cycle of a Yid is an enormously significant event. And it cannot be underestimated how powerful and important it is to make a huge fuss of Pesach and of Yetzias Mitzrayim and how Klal Yisrael have had the Hashkocha of the Ribbono Shel Olam in an unusual way through history because of the Shibud of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But that's not enough. But what the parash of Kadesh Likol B'chor, what the parash is Be'emes saying is, V'hoi Eloi Sal Yadcho means, even though it's true, we make a big statement of the importance of Yetzias Mitzrayim one time a year, but don't leave it to one time a year. You have to remind yourself of this Shibud every day. V'hoi Eloi Sal Yadcho, don't leave me the significance of Klal Yisrael's place in history to be remembered only once a year. True, you have to make a big fuss of it once a year, and it comes with a lot of mitzvahs once a year. Nevertheless, you have to remember it every day as well. You have to be meshabed yourself again to the Ribbono Shel Olam on the basis of Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day. So, but again, Bechor is mentioned over here. So there's something to do with Bechor. Kadesh li kol Bechor, what's the meaning of Bechor? And in the next Pasuk, V'hoya ki v'yachoy, is also much more about Bechor. V'havar to kol Peter Rechem. All Bechor belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. By the way, Peter means Peter, you know. Peter is a Torah name. There are lots of names that come from, based on the Torah, as we understand, Michael and Jonathan and all these names. Peter, it means this. It means
to
Rabbeinu Peter, yeah. But it comes from here because it means to be a leader or to be the firstborn, the strong one. That's what the name means. One of the surprising ones. But here you are. So you've got to give your Peter Rechem to the Ribbono Shel Olam v'im lo sifter. If you don't give the first to the Ribbono Shel Olam by Raftoi, it's worthy of being destroyed. Then you have again Yitzias Mitzrayim b'chozek yod ha'tzion Hashem Mitzrayim b'ahi kihiksha. Paro was very stubborn and therefore he came to his end. V'ha'yo lo yisal yodcha, and in this time yodcha is spelt with a hey. It's an unusual thing. So what's the meaning of this? What's Bechor and what's the Yetzias Mitzrayim got to do with it? And the answer is this. If there is ever a time, says Rav Hirsch, that a person is more likely to forget all about the Ribbono Shel Olam, it is when they start being matzliach. When you start seeing signs of hatzlacha in your wealth, in your possessions, in your country, things are going boomingly well. That is the most common moment when a person forgets about their Shibud to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But derech hateva, naturally, we tend to look for the Ribbono Shel Olam more when we have a problem. Okay, when there's something wrong. This is a famous line of Rav Hirsch: churches are always with graveyards. Because the feeding ground for the priest is the dead and the dying. But the Rabban Shalem is not so. He's Alekim Chayim. It's one of his famous parashas. If you look in Rav Hirsch on Parashas Emor, why the Kohanim are not allowed to be Metame Lemeis? Because the Rabban Shalem doesn't want the image of I need religion, so to speak, as like Och Nebuch, so therefore I have to have somebody to save me or to protect me from that. But it's Fakat, it's Elokim Chaim. He wants your Hatzlacha. And when you Matzlech, he wants you Dafka then also to think of him. Avad, you should turn to him when you have a sorrow. Who else should you go to? But when things are booming, that's particularly when you're vulnerable to forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, Bechor, when your next generation comes along, when your animals have their next generation, your land is expanding, everything's booming, and things are just going so perfectly well, that's when you have to remember Paroi. Because that was the downfall of Paroi. Any time a person is matzliach and it goes to their head and they forget about it, im lo tifta. If you don't remember the Ribbono Shel Olam, then varafta, you have signed its death warrant by yourself. You've brought out about its own destruction. It has no purpose other than to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's paroi.
It's the same letter, paroi, varafta.
Yes, oshkayach. Very good. Thank you very much. Very good. And therefore, in this parasha, because even when a person is being very matzliach, let them always remember, yad keiha, my hand is the weak one. That it's not for me, it's the mahatzloch, it's from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, if we take all of these together, then what it tells us is that we meshabed ourselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam on the basis of who he is, And we're meshabed to do mitzvahs based on our oil mitzvahs and Yetzias Mitzrayim every day, not just once a year, but mostly through to remember and to commit every one of our resources and all of our efforts and energies to furthering the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and particularly to watch out for those moments of great hatzlacha. And we should all have hatzlacha, but we should all remember that it's for the Ribbono Shel Olam, we should use our resources in that way. And that's why we take these parashas, because they sum up our relationship to the Ribbono Shel Olam and our relationship to mitzvahs and our purpose, the basis of our of the hashkocha of Hashem on Klal Yisrael from Yetzias Mitzrayim onwards. And those are the fundamental ideas that we should think of on a regular basis and ponder them, and they should guide our thoughts and our actions. So now we come to the actual tefillin itself, because it's an important thing to understand that mitzvahs are not random. It's not just, okay, these are nice things to think about, so tie them up and put them on you or something. They're designed by Halacha L'Moshe Sinai for a reason. Every part of it gives a message of some sort. It's all part of teaching us what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to think. So we notice, Rav Hirsch points out, that the tefillin are made up of several parts, and they're all halacha l'moshe misinai. The bayis, the box which contains the parashias, the base, which is called in the Gemara Titura, the base, is halacha l'moshe misinai. And then there's the ma'avarta, where the strap goes through at the back. So you've got the bayis, the base, and the ma'avar at the back over there. They're all halacha l'moshe misinai. Interestingly also, the tefillin have to be square. Halacha l'moshe misinai have to be square. So we need to understand what the meaning of these are. What does it mean? What's the bayis? What's the titura? What's the meaning of these things? And what's the ma'avar? What's the meaning? It's just a means to tie it onto yourself. It's dafnijan halacha l'moshe misinai like that. It doesn't have to be. You said to tie it on however you want. But the halacha l'moshe misinai in this way. Why is it that it's all one parasha, one piece, one klaf on the shel yad? It's four different ones on the shel roish. What's the meaning of the shin on the shel roish? What's the meaning of it? Why do we have the shin over here, the dalad over here, and the yud over here? It's all the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. What's the meaning of the knot at the back? What do these things mean? It is, but I haven't got anything to say on that at the moment. So I'm going to... No, if I can't, you're right. I don't know. It's a good point. I have to look into that a bit more. Bias. Let's start with a bias. We wish Shechos and the Kavod they should build a bayis neman. Hashem told David HaMelech, Ki bayis yivn elecho Hashem. What does it mean to build a house? What does it mean in this context? A bayis means? It means a permanent, something permanent, something lasting. When Hashem told David HaMelech, Ki bayis yivn elecho Hashem, it means this is something permanent. Your dynasty is permanent. It'll always be there. We wish the chosnek ala bayis ne'eman means something permanent, something that lasts for all the generations, for all the doiras. So the idea of the bayis means, a bayis which contains the Torah, means that Hashem wants to establish something permanent, a permanent resting place for the Torah. Where? On earth. Where does he want this permanent resting place for the Torah? Where does he want it? Not with the Malachim, but on earth. He wants to take the bayis of his Torah and stick it down on earth. Okay? And how do you do that? How does he do that? How does he take the Torah in Shemayim and plant it and stick it on earth that it's permanent? How do you do that? Through the people of Klal Yisrael, through the bodies of Klal Yisrael. So we are what brings the Torah from the heaven, from Shemayim, and plants it on earth. Listen to this pasuk from the Navi Yeshaya. Important pasuk. Ve'osim devarai beficha. It's in Perek Nun Aleph, pasuk Tezayin. Ve'osim devarai beficha. I Hashem put my words. I gave my Torah to you. I put it in your mouth. I gave you my Torah. Ubetzel yodi kisisicha. And I have protected you with my special protection, so that you should be able to fulfill the Torah. Has that happened? Has it happened? Yes, it has happened. Of course it's happened. It hasn't been a smooth journey, but it hasn't been a smooth journey for the Rabbeinu Shlalem either, I suppose. Okay, it's not easy, but Klal Yisrael have a special hashgacha, and Klal Yisrael are here keeping the Torah today, after all this time. Most other cultures and ideas, they've passed, but the Torah is still here, Klal Yisrael is still here. So I gave you my Torah, u'betzel yodi kisisicha, I've given you my special hashgacha, special protection. Because I want to take that which is in Shemayim and plant it and establish it on earth. And for that I have said to Klal Yisrael, you are my nation. So you are my nation for the sake of taking the Torah that is in Shemayim and putting it on earth. To take the Shemayim and establish it firmly on this earth. And that's the bayis and the titura and the ma'avarto. The bayis is Shemayim. The titura, the base, is Oretz, and the means by which it is the Ma'avarta, through which we attach it to ourselves, and that is the means by which Hashem has brought the Torah onto earth. So if you are feeling ever a little bit down about yourself, a person's having a moment of weakness, let them know that their very presence on earth, their very presence, by doing mitzvahs, by living a life as an Erlich Hayid, you are bringing Torah onto earth, you are fulfilling by every breath, by every bracha, by every machshava tova, every penny of tzedakah, every bit of Torah that you learn, every act of chesed you do, you are planting Shamayim on Oretz. You are fulfilling the will of Hashem. And that's the meaning of the tefillin. Bayis, titura, ma'avarta. The bit by which it attaches itself to Klal Yisrael. Its Torah is not meant to be in Shamayim, it's meant to be on Oretz. Where on earth? Everywhere on earth. Not just in the Beis HaMedrash. In the shop, in the office, in the trading estate, in town, wherever you are, wherever there are people, the Torah needs to be there. And you are the means by which Hashem has put that Torah there. And therefore, that is the number one, number two, number three. The bayis, titura, and ma'avarta, there you go. It's an important thing to understand. It's an important thing to understand that by the very fact that you are keeping the Torah to the best of your ability, wherever you are a representative of the Rabbeinu Shalom. And it's such an important thing that people, we forget, we lose sight of. We lose sight, I'm just a regular person, I'm just a nobody, or I'm just a simple person. There's no such thing as a simple yid. There's no such thing as a person who's simple, who sits down to lunch, has to take in the middle of a working day, busy working day, the Kiddush Hashem, when a bunch of Yiddish people, instead of sitting down and enjoying a long lunch break, they're half of it off to go to Chat Mincha. And even if the Mincha is quicker because they're employees, they've got jobs to do, they can't take a long time, that's a Kiddush Hashem. What's everybody else doing in that time? And then you have to shorten your lunch because you have to say Birchas Hamazon properly. So these are Linutoya Shamayim Lisoidoretz. It's all very well when a person has all day to learn and to keep mitzvahs berevach. What about the pshutei om? I always say, if you want to see the biggest difference between Bein Yisrael or Amim, you know, if you study the priest and versus the rabbi, yeah, okay, the priest and the vicar and the bishop, they're all dignified people, you know, intelligent, intellectual, and can tell you nice pshetlach. The rabbi also, he dresses differently. So you don't see, I mean, yes, superficially. But straight away, if you see the difference between the way the pshutei ha'om live, you see Bein Yisrael Amim instantly. Because when the pshutei ha'om of the Umas Olam come home after a long day's work, what do you do? What do you do? Ayin Sham. When the pshutei ha'om of Klal Yisrael, regular people come home in the evening, what do you do? Shat Mincha Mariv, go to Shir. So it's Bein Yisrael Amim, it's as clear as day. You have to understand how precious every person is in the Avodas Hashem, and let nobody think that I'm not the Rashka Bahaga, as they call them. I'm just a poshita. There's no such thing as a poshita yid. And when we put the tefillin on our bodies every morning, let's remember that we are the means by which the Torah comes to us. Okay, so why are they square? It's an interesting thing that they are squared, but they're dafka not allowed to be round. Where else in the Torah does square feature a very, very lot? In the Mishkan, everything's square. Besides the... What's not square in the Mishkan? The Mishkan was square. Everything was... Well, angles, right angles. Rectangle, sorry? Well, the Oren was... Right, so when I say square, we mean right angles. The menorah, according to some, was roundish over here, but it, according to others, it was like that. But the Etzem Keli didn't have... The Kiyah wasn't. The Kiyah was a round receptacle. It's an interesting thing. So everything's right-angled besides the Kiyah. Rav Hirsch doesn't say this. I'm going to conjecture now. But let's understand right angles, 90 degrees. What does it mean? So Rav Hirsch says, you notice nature doesn't produce right angles. Nature, b'derech klal, doesn't produce, it's all roundish. All things in nature are roundish. There are no sharp corners. Evenly, it's only when you get people, human beings, they do this, they make right angles. Why is it? So Rav Hirsch says, because nature means it's like something that develops, it just grows, so it sort of starts off in the middle and grows out in all directions, like that, so you get roundy, curvy. Even if a leaf, it like grows a bit like this, and a bit azoy, and a bit in that direction. But you don't get that. Because this is a sign of someone who's thought about it. And he's chopped it and cut it in this particular way. So a 90 degree angle is a sign of intelligence. A sign of human interference. Is a sign of Bechira. It's not a sign of something just sort of expanding naturally and growing out. Okay, it's like when they used to do in school, they wanted to do something to do with colours. So you drop a drop of liquid on it, and you watch how it spreads out. And I don't know what, it's too long ago, I don't remember what the whole thing was. But you see how things spread out in the world, in nature, it's all roundish. There's no sharp angles. And therefore, the Mishkan is a place of conscious choice to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why it was all right-angled. Because you got to come... So the kira was round, because the kira is the preparation. You're just being mekadesh yourself. So you're perhaps at that stage where you haven't firmly committed yourself. But once you're mekadesh kiddush adayim raglaim, and you approach the mizbeach, and you approach any of the other avoidus in the mikdash, it's right angle, it's das, it's bechira, to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam properly. And therefore... The tefillin is be'etzem a mini mikdosh. If you think about it, Rav Hirsch says, the tefillin is the mikdosh, because the luchos, the Torah in the Oren, is a mini version of that is in your tefillin. So therefore, when the Ribbono Shel Olam asks us to dedicate himself to us, he's asking us to think about it. He's asking us, calling us to dedicate ourselves with purpose. not just a random, this is how, you know, this is how it was, we end up here, we but to really focus and to make decisions and to use the whole of our choosing, our energy, to choose to do things for the Ribbono Shel Olam, to give it that effort, that energy, that mind that we are so blessed with, and to choose to do the right thing for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now let's talk about where we put it. We put it over here, and it comes down in two different lengths, one a bit longer, and then it goes over here and it comes around our arm. So why is it on our head? Because we have to think. Why is it on our arms? Because our head, b'derech klal, it is there to guide the actions. But let's take it a bit more. So the front part of the brain is b'derech klal, is generally superficial thought or initial stages of thinking. The long-term memory, the deeper parts of your consciousness, are in the back of the brain, right over there. In fact, zikorein b'nei necho, there's a certain part of the brain, I think it's called the hippocampus, if I've pronounced it right, if there's any medical people here, doctors, tell me if I've done it wrong. From what I understand, it sits in between the eyes, back in the brain, so where mokim, from the top of the skull, where mokim, where it's soft, the back bit, which is the furthest part back, if you go down and in, you come to it approximately over there. It's like in the deepest part of the brain, between your eyes and from down there. But the back part of your head, of the brain, is for deeper consciousness. So what the Tfilin are saying is that we should think about the Ribbono Shel Olam and think about our relationship to him and think about our purpose, such that it doesn't just stay in the superficial part of the brain, but it goes right into it, permeates the deeper parts of our consciousness, the subconscious. It goes right deep down, such that it influences all of our desires, our feelings, our desires. And the two lengths are, it comes down to the Bethen and to the Bris, because those are the various powerful desires that drive a person. Should be influenced, not just superficially, but very deeply. They should deeply permeate the whole of our being, to the deepest consciousness, right down to every desire that motivates and drives us should be influenced by what's in the tefillin, and that should then drive our actions. It should guide our actions. It should guide the arm, that which we do when we live and act, that it should be dedicated and driven by these thoughts and these feelings that have been influenced by this tefillin. What have we missed out? What else is on the tefillin that
right.
Okay, the shin, we'll come to the shin. What we've done a bit of your Tzitzis Mitzrayim. The kesher is also the shin, the dalad, and the yud. It's all of it makes the name of Hashem. We did that because the beten and the bris, it's the different tivus that it should be. Sorry? Yes, that's a very, that's the import. The Sa'a Egel, which is on the Tfilin Shell Rosh. Where does the Sa'a Egel sit? Between? Sits between Shema and Shema. I think it's the same in Tfilin Shel Rabbeinu Tam, where the parish is on a different order. It sits between Shema and Vahayim Shema always, the Sa'a Egel. So Rav Hirsch says, it seems that there's something that happens as we go from Shema to Vahayim Shemaya that we need to be reminded about the Egel Azov. For something about the Egel that stands as a warning between the parish of Shema and the parish of Vahayim Shemaya. So Rav Hirsch says this, Shema is the theory about the Ribbono Shel Olam, our theoretical connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Vahayim Shema is a practical mitzvah, and there's always a danger when a person goes from desire, theory, to practice, that they'll get it all wrong on the meantime. Because that's what happened to the Egel. Kabbalah said, HaTorah, we're going to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yes, we're committed. But this is the right thing to do, isn't it? That's what we're supposed to be doing now, an Egel. I'm sure the Egel's the right thing to do. So between wanting to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam and then actually doing it in practice, there's a moment where a person has to remember that not everything done in the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam is actually the right thing to do. that one always has to be careful when one does mitzvahs that they're not actually doing an egel hazov, which is exactly what happened in the egel. The desire to do the right thing, the conviction that we have to do this, it was definitely for Hashem would want us to do. This is in the name of Hashem. This is what Hashem wants. So what silly people. And therefore, between Shema and Nohem Shemaya, we always stand at that moment and we warn ourselves, not every action which we intend to do for Hashem is actually the right thing to do. Always to have that caution that when we do things, it should actually be the right thing, and check and double check it, that it should be the right thing to do. Shin. Shin's an interesting thing. What does the letter Shin mean in Lashon HaKodesh? Share. What does it mean? The letter Shin, it's short for which word? Asher. Short for Asher. That which, or the one who. It's called a relative pronoun. You know so-and-so? You know Chaim so-and-so? No, I don't know. He's the one who owns the shop, such a shop. Oh, him. I don't know him. I only know him through something else. It's called a relative pronoun. The person who does this. He's the means which we know him is through what he does. I don't know him as such. That's called relative pronoun. That's Asher. So Shin is short for Asher. So the Rabbeinu Shlalem is Shin. Because we don't know the Rabbeinu Shlalem himself. We only know him through the world. Through the Torah. Through other things. The Rabbeinu Shlalem himself we have no concept of. We've no idea. There's no understanding at all of the Rabbeinu Shlalem as the Rabbeinu Shlalem. It's always through everything else. That's why the Rabbeinu Shlalem is represented by the letter Shin. But the letter Shin comes out of the bias. It's pressed out of it because that says that when every physical thing that we have is given into the service of the Rabbeinu Shlalem, the Shekhinah does rest on it. It is permeated with the Shekhinah. People have the concept of Shekhinah as far away, as something very sublime and different, and something which we don't understand, but this is Shekhinah. A house where there is lived by the principles of the Torah, where there's kashrus, there's shalom bayis, there's taras hamishpacha, there's Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's tefillah, there's mezuzah, there is the Shekhinah. That is it. Now, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I apologize, because we were all hoping Shekhinah is going to be some ecstatic experience, something that will transport us into the other world. And maybe there are madrigas to Shekhinah. But this is Shekhinah. This is it. Sometimes you only ever know what you have by comparing it to something else. So compare to a house in which Torah mitzvahs don't play a part, and you'll see that this is the Shekhinah. You'll know what Shekhinah means. You'll feel the Shekhinah. It's a very different thing. It's a different place altogether. So therefore, the Shin comes out of the bias because it tells us, don't think that just because it's just a house, it's just people, it's just food, everything that is of this world, that is given over to the Rabbeinu Shlalem, it has the Shekhinah impressed on it. I suppose Rav Hirsch suggests why the one side has four is a remez to the four parashas. That could be made up of the Persia. It's a speculation, I don't know. Okay, let's finish off by talking about Shel Yad, Shel Rosh. Because the halacha is that the Shel Yad always comes, the Shel Rosh is always only there when the Shel Yad is there, if they're there at the same time. You don't have Shel Rosh independent of the Shel Yad, unless you only have the one tefillah, the one of them there. So why is that? And Rav Hirsch says that's obviously famous two words, Nasa v'nishma. That all understanding, all inquiry is on the condition that it's Nasa. First we'll do it, then we'll try and understand. What happens if you can't understand? Maybe you won't be able to fathom the depths of Hashem's ideas. Nasa, you do it anyway. Nasa v'nishma. So therefore, the mind is subject to the hand. As long as you undertake to do the mitzvahs, no matter what, you can go and learn about it. You can look into it. But when people make the mistake of saying, I don't understand it, I don't see how it's relevant in this day and age, the modern world, the 21st century. Truth is, when people say, oh, we're in the 21st century, I always like them to explain how different is the 21st century to the 14th century. In what way are human beings essentially different in any way than then? Do we want different things? Do we desire different things? Is the technical means might be different, but the essential person has always been the same. The essential desire for power, money, and other things is all the same. So the human being has not changed essentially. The human condition hasn't changed. The circumstances may have changed, but the essential condition is always the same. And therefore, when people say 21st century, nishkanafkamina, if a person wants to understand Torah, mitzvahs, understand about Hashem, gesundheit, a person should learn, become a chacham. But at the expense of doing mitzvahs, that cannot be. And therefore the Rosh, Shal Rosh, is subject to the Shalyad, to the Nas of Nishma. And may this give us a bit of a chizuk to be mekai in the midst of tefillin with renewed enthusiasm. And may we be zeicha to shefa, brocha v'hatzlacha.